Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priest and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. And at that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" And then verse 22, this is after they're yelling Barabbas. Pilate asked them, he said, "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the blessings of this season. And we thank you that all that Jesus went through for us. And because you love us, Jesus endured all this abuse and this mistreatment. And I just thank you that he went to the cross and gave his life for us. Father, if there's anyone who's here this morning or maybe listening to us on Facebook that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, before we're done, the same question that Pilate is asking, that we'll ask that question, what about Jesus? Do I want to accept Jesus or do I want to continue ignoring Jesus? Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the point now through the week, and remember we talked about how how Jesus was having to get the attention of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the Herodians, and he kept poking them in the chest because Jesus had to be crucified on what day or what week? Passover. It had to happen on Passover. And so they were afraid of the crowd, remember, and here we're talking about Palm Sunday as Jesus is coming in. And they start talking among themselves. They're saying the crowd, the whole city has gone out to see Jesus. And so they were afraid to make a move on Jesus because they would be probably a riot. And that was there in the city. Jesus is coming. You have all these Roman soldiers who are armed and waiting for something to happen. Because I can imagine on every holiday or every holy day or every feast, I'm sure the Romans are on high guard because if the Israelites are going to riot, it's going to usually be around that time because it's very holy and it's very personal to them. And they don't like the fact that the Romans are there to start with and they're impeding on their worship and keeping them from doing what they think they have the right to do. So they're all geared up waiting for something to happen. Jesus comes into Jerusalem. They're all excited about seeing Jesus. They're yelling Hosanna. They're laying down the palm trees and in their cloaks. And so as the week continues on, we talked about him cleansing the temple. We talked about him confronting the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes and the Herodians. He approached them directly. Now we have Jesus where Jesus wants to be. And you think about in your mind, If you knew exactly what was going to happen, if you knew exactly what was going on, how unsettling would that be? But Jesus stands there and he listens because he knows what is going on was prophesied years and years before and it had to happen exactly the way it is. So we find Jesus who was arrested in the garden. He was before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin do not have the authority to bring the death penalty on anybody. So they send Jesus to Pilate. And so we find Pilate probably wondering to himself, what in the world, why am I in this? What is going on? And I don't understand the circumstances that I even need to deal with this man. But there it is. Jesus is standing before Pilate. Pilate is caught between what he feels and what the people want. He has to make a choice. So what question does he ask? After he offers them up, he was, I'm sure in his mind, he thought they would ask for Jesus. And that's the reason why he uses the idea that Jesus is the one that's called the Messiah. Because they thought maybe he would be one that they would say, yeah, we'll take Jesus the Messiah. But contrary to that, they holler for Barabbas. I don't think that really sunk into Pilate that that was something they were going to do. And I think that's the reason why, pardon me, he got Barabbas there, and another reason why Barabbas was chosen. But I'm sure Barabbas was probably one of the most ornery, most probably well-known thieves and whatever else he did. Everybody knew who he was. And I'm sure that it's just like, from one end of the spectrum to the other, you've got Barabbas, who's probably one of the worst characters in the city. You have Jesus, who's obviously the greatest character in that city. And so it was for us, it'd be a no-brainer. Well, we'll pick Jesus. Well, they didn't. They chose Barabbas. And so Pilate's dumbfounded. He doesn't understand. He said, well, all right, you chose Barabbas. We're going to let Barabbas go free. And probably a week later, they had to rearrest Barabbas and probably throw him back in prison. I'm sure, because I'm sure he didn't change his behavior. But anyway, he's standing before Pilate. Jesus is there, and he looks, and Pilate looks at Jesus, and then he looks at the crowd, and he says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ, which is called the Messiah? What shall I do with him? What a great question. Just keep that question in mind. Think about it. What shall you do with Jesus? Let's take a few minutes and analyze this question. I think every morning when you and I wake up, that question should be asked of us. What are you going to do with Jesus today? What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus every day of the week? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Are you going to go about your day and ignore him? Are you going to go about your business and leave Jesus behind? What are you going to do with him? Pilate had no idea what he should do. To Pilate, Jesus did nothing wrong. He did nothing that would cause them to give him the death penalty or cause him to even be arrested. He didn't find any fault in Jesus. You know, it's always this famous thing, I wash my hands. Many things that Pilate is trying to do to get out of the fact of having to make a decision about Jesus. But you think about, number one, the first thing that we have to look at, it is a personal question. I don't care who Pilate was, whether he was the governor, he was the king, he was the mayor of the town, or whether he was whatever. He had to look at himself and think about that question and decide what to do all on his own. Pilate, that question is one for you. I think that question for everybody who was listening was an important question for them. What are you going to do with Jesus? What shall I do with him? And everyone since that time, the same question has come about, maybe in different ways, different forms, but it's still the same question. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to accept him, reject him, believe in him, deny him? Everybody's required to answer that question. Not answering the question is answering the question, isn't it? If you don't accept Jesus, what are you doing? You're rejecting Jesus. So not answering is answering. But Pilate, who is the typical politician, isn't he? He is a typical politician. He is confronted with a situation that he has no idea how to handle it. He has no idea. He doesn't want to answer that question. He just wants to be left alone. Even his wife told him to do what? Leave this man alone. Leave this man alone. I had a terrible vision. You need to leave him alone. So number two, the question to be analyzed, it requires some action. There's no greater decision in a person's life than what they do with that question. What shall I do with Jesus? If you don't accept him, as we just said, then you are rejecting him. But it's something, it takes action. You have to physically do something And Pilate thinks he's doing something when Pilate is actually doing nothing, but it's going to come back like a boomerang and land right back in his lap. The third question is about Jesus and no one else. This question of what shall I do with Jesus, it's not about a question about what I'll do with me. It's not a question that he's saying what he's going to do about you. It's not a question that has anything to do with anybody else except for one man standing in front of the crowd, standing in front of us. It's about Jesus and no one else. The question is not simply a yes or no question. It's a question that determines everlasting, doesn't it? If you accept Jesus Christ and you say, well, what I'm going to do with Jesus, I'm going to accept him and I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to accept him as my Lord and Savior. That's eternal. That's an everlasting question. Or if you deny him, that is also determines your eternity. You have two choices. There's not a third one. There's not a fourth one. There's either heaven or there's hell. There's no other alternative. Accepting Jesus is heaven. Rejecting Jesus is always hell. The second thing that we look at, that it's an inescapable question. You can't dodge it. I've talked to people, and I'm sure Brother Sheldon's talked to people, and they'll always say, well, not now, maybe someday. Well, someday may not come, right? How many times do you share Jesus with somebody and they say, well, not today, I'm not ready today, maybe sometime tomorrow, or maybe when I'm older? And older never comes. And it's too late. Pilate tries his best to escape the question. That's why I say he's such a great politician. And Luke 23:6 says, it tells us that because Jesus was a Galilean, he said, I don't have jurisdiction. He's not under my jurisdiction. So Pilate is proud of himself. And he says, I can't make a decision about Jesus. He's outside my jurisdiction. It needs to go somewhere else. So we have Jesus before the Sanhedrin. We have Jesus before Pilate. Now Jesus goes before Herod, who is nothing more than a puppet king. Jesus was there long enough for them to just make fun of Jesus, to try to humiliate Jesus, try to mock him. They laughed at him, but they found no reason to condemn him. Verse of scripture we're all familiar with, Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shears, and dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Can you imagine Jesus standing there? And all he does is that when he answers Pilate, he just says, you said so. You're the one that said it. That's all Jesus tells Pilate. He goes before Herod. He doesn't argue his point. He doesn't debate his point. He doesn't, get in any kind of philosophical argument with Herod. He does nothing. So they mock him and ridicule him and laugh at him. And where's Jesus sent back to? Pilate. So Pilate thought he got rid of Jesus, but Pilate has got him back in his lap. Pilate is still saying, I don't find any fault in him. I find no fault in him. Pilate continues to let other people decide for him, or he tries. No matter what he is trying to do, he is confronted with Jesus. Pilate, you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision. And I've talked to people, and you look at anything, you've got to make a decision. You can't continue to put this off and put this off and put this off. You've got to make a decision, because if you continue rejecting Jesus, it's going to be too late. So no matter what, people might laugh at you. So what, people may turn their back on you. So people may not believe what you're saying or accept you anymore because you've accepted Jesus Christ. All that doesn't matter when it comes down to what happens when we take our last breath. There's so many reasons why no man can dodge this. I don't care if you're Pilate, and I don't care who you are. You can't dodge the issue. I don't care of all the social questions, political questions, economic questions, personal questions that you are asked. There's none that are more important than what Pilate is asking. What shall I do with Jesus? Jesus, our Creator. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Messiah. Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus, our Judge. And we find in Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be what? Saved. Let's get back to Jesus or Barabbas. I said there's another reason about why Barabbas. He was probably the honoriest and sorriest person there. But Barabbas' name means Son of the Father. I want you to think about this play of words. So, in order to be the Son of the Father, what has to take place? Jesus has to take your place. In order for you to be what? A true son or daughter of the Father. Barabbas' name meant Son of the Father. Isn't that interesting? He's got that message up on stage. Barabbas, underneath it, means Son of the Father. In order for you to be a Son of the Father, a true Son of the Father, this guy, Jesus, has to take your place as he did Barabbas. We're all Barabbas. We all stand condemned. And in order for us to be truly accepted by the Father, we have to accept Jesus Christ and allow Jesus Christ to take our place. There's three factors I want us to think about, which every sinner must weigh when he faces Jesus Christ and what he decides or she decides to do with him. Number one, it's an absolute choice. It's either Jesus or it's not. There's no character in between. There's no place in between. There's no waiting period. There's no waiting room. It's either Jesus or it's not, or it's Satan. It's either heaven or it's hell. There's nothing in between. The Bible says we can't serve two gods. We can't serve Jesus and Satan both. We can't go to heaven and hell both. We have to either go to one or the other. Jesus is a personal Savior. And again, not choosing Jesus is choosing Satan. Number two, you must consider sin. It amazes me what people feel like is more important that they're doing in their life, that they enjoy, that it's part of who they are that keeps them from accepting Jesus Christ, because they enjoyed committing that sin enough, or that sin is a barrier between us and Jesus. And it keeps people from accepting Him, because what they're doing is more enjoyable, more pleasurable, more fulfilling than it is accepting Jesus. Number three, it's about self. Where do you place yourself? Do you deny yourself and lift Jesus? Do you deny Jesus and uplift self? You know, it's one or the other. There's some alternate choices. Choices, not finality. What can you do with Jesus? You can either be for Him or against Him. You love Him and not hate Him. But, you know, I hear people say through the years that, well, I know who Jesus is. I believe in Jesus. But do you believe in Jesus? Do you really believe that He is truly the Son of God and is truly your Savior? Are you going to crown Him as King or crucify Him? Ignore Him or live for Him? And the thing of it is, whatever we do with Jesus now determines what He does with us later, doesn't it? If we don't accept Jesus, and I don't see anywhere in history or comics, or not comics, or commentaries, probably not comics either, or commentaries, where Pilate ever said, oh, I made a mistake, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior now. There's no historical reference to that. Even Josephus talks about Pilate in his historical writings, but he doesn't make reference that he became a believer. So whatever we do Jesus now determines what he does with us later. Eternal salvation is already set in motion. All we have to do is accept it. Eternal salvation has already been given to us when Jesus died on that cross and he shed his blood and his broken body, resurrected the third day. It was already set in motion. All we have to do is accept it. All comes down to the question, what will you do with Jesus? Will you accept it or reject it? Believe or ignore? 1 John 5, 11-12 tells us, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Right? It's a question you and I have got to answer. If you've never answered this question, I don't care if you're here this morning, you're watching on Facebook or whatever it is you're doing, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now. Because there may not be tomorrow or the next day or 20 years from now or even 5 minutes from now. Who knows? It's a question that only you can answer. We see through the life of Pilate, ignoring Jesus, getting rid of Jesus, and evading Jesus doesn't work. Because when you try to avoid Jesus, what always happens? He comes right back, doesn't he? You can't get away from Jesus. You can ignore him, you can pretend, you can do anything you can to get away from him, but it's always going to be there. And I think in Revelations where it's so very, very clear, whoever and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into water. Isn't that a terrible thought? A terrible thought. You know, with this time of year, it's such a great opportunity for you and I to share Jesus Christ with everybody. Because everybody's aware of it. Everybody knows about Easter. They may not understand all the things, the non-commercial things about Jesus, but it's still about Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you that question one last time and just ponder on that. What shall you do about Jesus, with Jesus? And as a Christian, what are you going to do with him? Sometimes we just let Jesus, you know, as a ride-along. You know, we just kind of ride along the life and let Jesus kind of sit beside us. And as long as he doesn't try to steer or give us directions or tell us what to do, Jesus can stay. But the minute he starts telling us, we try to get away from him, don't we? Pull off the side of the road and say, Jesus, time for you to get out. I'm not listening to you anymore. So what are you going to do as Christian with Jesus? It's something we really have to answer every single day. Today is a new day. What am I going to do with Jesus today? What am I going to do with him? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you that we have Jesus. And Father, there's so many people out there that have no idea who Jesus is. Well, help us. Bring us to a place every day to someone's understanding or an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with somebody new every day. Show us and lead us. Let us do our part for you in sharing Jesus Christ with those around us. And Father, if there's someone who is here or who is listening who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day they'd give their heart to you. Father, we just love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.